right, I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Yeah, waiting for that meep meep part, Joe, here on Motormouth Radio this morning. Long Island's only authorized, fully authorized, and verified and vetted automotive talk show here on Long Island with your host, Ray Guarino, and his co-host, wingman, and XO, Joe D.
Meep, meep.
Yeah. And we are meep meeping with the sound of the Gantz from 1965 today because it kind of foreshadows our guest.
Yeah, I was going to say, why did we pull that one out of the vault, Ray?
Because that's why I thought the sound I heard you made before, you were like going, eep, eep, and I didn't know if it was a cough or a chuckle or laughter, I don't know.
Oh, you never know what comes out of this body. You just got to be careful which head it comes out of.
Yeah, no, what happened was we, as in typical Motormouth Radio fashion, we had a guest planned who at the last minute kind of had to reschedule. We always talk about guests in the cloud, so we rescheduled guest A for next Sunday, and guest B, who was gracious enough to drop in last minute, Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
It would actually be like a guest M for Mopar, right?
I guess,
or
yes.
M for Mark. Or,
right.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, he's definitely not a B guy. He's not on anybody's B list as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, he's an A-lister in our mind. So Mark will be calling in at about the quarter show area where we're going to talk Mopar, talk about the show, and talk about all sorts of cool stuff. So, you know, you can, if you want to know about what's going on, you can, well, you can't text us because you don't have our numbers, but you can get us on Twitter, Motormouth Radio, get on our Twitter feed, and you can ask us some questions. We'll ask Mark, and we'll...
yeah, tweet it up.
Yeah, we'll take it from there. Hey, Joe, today, today made automotive history in 1979.
Let me think.
December 3rd, 1979.
I don't know if I was even coherent in that year, but go ahead.
This is a question for the Swizz, because he would probably know this.
Mm.
The last AMC Pacer rolled off the assembly line in December 3rd, 1979.
You know that applause sound effect we were talking about?
Yeah.
Now's a good time for that.
Making Bill and Ted very sad.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Them things showed up in a number of movies there.
Sure did.
Yeah, but... It's kind of cool. You can kind of flip on their roof and watch them wobble.
I guess.
Yeah, the automotive equivalent of a Weeble.
Yeah.
It wobble, but it don't fall down.
Something like that.
Sure didn't go fast, but hey.
No. I remember it was 76 or 7, and one of my relatives from New Jersey came out to see us, and they had bought a brand new Pacer. Because it was, you know, an economy car. And we were going to go out to, I guess, some dinner, and they asked me to drive because I knew we were going, and I drove and said, oh, wow, it's really like a fishbowl, like they said. So let's dip into the fishbowl.
And you have to sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Let's dip into the fishbowl and see what Tetra surfaces when we say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very good. What's happening, Mark?
This is Bob from Rockwell Center.
Oh, Bob, I'm sorry. Why? You got a cold, Bob? Your throat sounds a little
thick.
No,
I'm running from the shower to the other room to get dressed for mass.
Ah.
Thanks.
So you still have your steam
in your
lungs
over
there.
For you guys to ask Mark, if you will.
Thanks for the picture you just put in our heads of you running from the shower to the... Thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
The end of the mind.
I take that back.
Okay.
So my question for Mark was, we saw his new Charger on the programming that he doesn't let anyone else drive. My question to Mark was, on the older vehicles, is it a 70 CUDA or is it a 71? that he has kept for himself. I was just curious about what he kept for his rod, if you will.
So you know from watching the show that he has one that he kept for himself, or are you?
Well, I thought perhaps it was the 70, the Trans Am Circuit car that they had used then.
Oh,
was it ACCR? Is that
No. It was
AAR.
AAR, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
So that was a question. If you throw out to Mark, I was just curious to find out what was the rod that he has kept for himself, other than that that limited edition Charger, the newer Charger that he drives.
Okay,
that was the question. I hope you guys have a great week.
Absolutely, that's a great question.
Thanks a lot,
Bob. About it. Yeah, cool.
Bye, bye, guys.
You got it. Deal.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. Yes, I'm not quite sure how to phrase that question, but we'll muddle through it somehow.
We'll think of something. Something along the lines of Did we just flash again?
Yeah, speaking of the goldfish bowl, let's go back and see if we can catch a goldfish. Hello, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Somebody should turn their radio
down.
I hear Joe,
yes. Hello, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Listen, this is Stan from West Valley. But I'd like to know if you want to call this guy. He might be very good for you if you're showing you got nobody coming in. His number is 935-1604. His name is Joe Aragona. They call him Broadway Joe. He built nothing but Volkswagens and Porsche's engines. He's about 80 years old.
What?
So you might get a little hard time getting to him. But if you saw it, you want to know, like Speed Shop and Merkel and Vita Guitar. Hi, Joe's on. He's got it all, man, so in case you want to call him, that's one of his numbers. You want the other number? I'll give you the other number, too, if you want it.
Well, that'll be good for now, Stan. Thanks, because we're actually live on the air, so...
Yeah.
Hope
he doesn't mind his number being out there.
Yeah.
But thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always looking for people, especially local people, so hey.
Yeah, because he's right here in Bethpage. He used to be on Broadway in Massapequa.
Okay.
And that's why they call him Broadway Joe, but he's...
Okay.
There's nothing but Volkswagen and Porsche engines for Volkswagen.
Very good. Thanks, Stan. We'll take that into, we'll follow up on that.
Great tip. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Have a nice day. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
See, look at that. People are dropping a dime on all the listeners. That's pretty good.
You never know what's going to happen here.
Yeah. The miracle of live radio, folks.
Absolutely.
You never know who's going to be on the other side. Hey, yeah, we'll have to go, maybe we'll have to go investigate that shop, maybe.
Yeah.
God, the dude's been doing it long enough. I mean, geez.
Well, he's 80 years old. Yeah, he's got quite a history.
Yeah, I just feel 80, but if this guy really is 80, thumbs up for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's not a bad idea, but that's a good question Bob had, too.
Yeah.
Didn't it start with, like, he had, like, the Phantom Cuda or something?
The Phantom Cuda was the one that actually started the show.
Right.
That was the impetus for the whole...
Right.
You know, Mark just decided to have a guy... Well, we'll let him tell us, but he just had a guy film it, said, hey, let's just film this for posterity. And it became the thread that sparked the whole Graveyard Cars, phenomenon.
Hey, this works pretty good, yeah. You know, it's like when you can find that certain recipe, you know. So.
Right.
Not that I cook, but I taste a lot, so
well,
it's
yeah,
okay.
You like to eat.
Yeah. As anybody who's ever seen me knows.
We all do. We all like to eat, so that's, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I hang on to it longer. I'm a hoarder, even biologically. My cells just keep hanging on to that stuff for the next 20 years.
That's a problem. As you age, that does happen to all of us, myself included. I just can't seem to shake some extra weight that I put on, and it's killing me. I don't know what to do about it, but, you know, I don't know. We'll try and figure it out.
What really stinks is that, you know, especially like when I go to the shops and they have one car parked really close to another car.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't get my fat little butt, you know, crack the door open. I got to slide in to hook up the scan tool and whatnot.
Right.
The next thing you know, I'm stuck on something.
Right, right.
That is so embarrassing when they try to have to pull you out. Well, you know, I also provide entertainment besides diagnostic advice. So why not give him a little bit of fun? You know, can make it a little. You know, I'm going to start carrying grease with me from now on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, either that or I'm going to have Teflon pants made. Teflon pants.
CPFE. Yeah.
Yeah, so. It would. It would be a fashion statement as well.
Yeah, you know, I got to say just as a pedestrian note, you know, I went with you on Friday night to a holiday
soiree.
Party. Yeah, yes. And it's kind of cool. You know, this is the time you guys get together, and we got to see a bunch of your buddies, the Hot Rod guys, and guys, some older guys with some real money, with some real old cars that are over my pay grade. And it's just, it kind of reinvigorated me that, you know,
Guys, there's a bunch of us out there.
When you hang with the guys that actually build stuff and do things.
And collect stuff, yeah.
Collect stuff.
Yeah. Hey, besides dust, that is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a bit, you know, because now you know you're not the only nut job on the block.
Oh, yeah.
Or in the borough, or in the county, you know, or in the island,
or
you know.
The state, yeah.
Yeah, no, that crew there, I mean, it's amazing what you walk past on the way to the sandwiches.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And good sandwiches, by the way.
Yeah, very good. And back and forth. You get stuff going and coming.
Right. There's everywhere. Two complete aisles, two floors. It was, and, you know, there's the tool collections, like, you know, yeah. the amount of equipment hanging around and just like, you know, who's got what apart, and mm-hmm. you know, then you sit there and you stare at something, you be all rub our chins and contemplate and give advice whether or not it's actually used or not is another story.
Right.
Not to mention there's all kinds of stuff. Not to mention there was beer. Lots of beer.
I saw some of that. Yeah, I saw a cooler full of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coolers.
Okay, well, I saw the one, yeah.
Different brands, you know.
I'm sure that there was, yeah.
Yes, well, you know, when you're a beer gourmet there or whatever you call that.
I'm not.
No, me neither.
Yeah, you know, I've never really been a big beer guy. You know, in the summer, maybe if it's a nice hot day in the summer,
right.
I appreciate a nice cold frosty. But like, you know, a shorty, you know, that's...
Right, especially us radio guys, because if you start drinking beer, next thing you know, there comes belching.
Yeah.
And after, you know, and belching is not necessarily FCC approved.
No.
So we got to keep that to a minimum, you know?
My problem in life, my vice, the albacore around my neck was, yeah, I just kind of go right to the liquor cabinet. You know, I just go right to the hard stuff.
There you go. That's it.
So, yeah,
which also makes a fine fuel additive as well.
Well, what I find is, though, you see, beer is beer. You get what you get, and you know, and as seen, you drink enough of it, and it just has its effect, like wine. But with liquor, you see, especially if you drink mixed drinks, you can tailor it. You can tailor that mixture from light to heavy, any way in between. So think about that. You have the ability to control the input.
So now we've become an obscure chemistry show.
I've always thought that way. I've always preached that one. Like,
yeah,
you know, unless you're drinking it straight, you have the ability to, you know, change that mixture. You control the air fuel ratio, so to speak.
Stoichiometry, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that was a good time. You managed to even get out of there like before the clock struck 12.
Yeah, it was like,
which
10,
was kind of
30,
yeah. Which is kind of good because some of us had, we both had to get up the next day for work.
Right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, you know, we managed to get out of there relatively intact and. Yeah. All in all, though, it was a good like 4 or 5 hours of hanging out, and
my back felt it.
Oh yeah, yeah, because there's not much sitting.
If I would have been hanging, I would have been better because it would have elongated the spine. But I was standing, which compresses it.
Then you could have been NBA. Yeah, thank you. Right. I couldn't spell NBA.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't sit there too much because unless you happen to be on one of the chairs there, you know, you're going to end up sitting on somebody's bumper hood, which
that's a no-no.
Oh yeah, that's a definite.
I did lean. I'm a leaner, so I lean on things. So I did lean on the snowplow.
Right.
And I leaned on the toolbox.
Right.
I leaned on things that were kind of like safe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, because especially with
I leaned on Dougie a few times. I just got like, yeah. He was like, hey, come on over, bro. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's good like that. He's a fine host over there. Are we flashing again?
That could be. You know what? We're gonna go to our break early, a little early, and then we'll see if we come back with Mr. Mark Warman. So you know what? Here on Motormouth Radio, keep it where you got it, Ray and Joe, and hopefully we'll be back with our guest in a minute.
This show is brought to you in part by A Garfield Christmas,
where Garfield is a few gifts short of a true Christmas spirit.
But with the help of John, Odie, the audience, and his new holiday friends, Garfield gets an enlightening lesson in this holiday musical.
For ticket information, you may visit venue.thetheateratwestbury.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatle songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All righty, we are back on Motormouth Radio, and I got to tell you something, Joe. We have a big intro here.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Is it Howie?
No. We have on the phone the Duke of Dodge, the Prince of Plymouth, gals and ghouls. Fasten your safety belts because I've got to play the intro music. Here it goes.
Here he comes.
I hear him revving it up.
Mopar, no car.
I love it.
No one can beat us. Mopar, no car.
Mr. Mark Warman. Mark, wow. How are you?
Hey, Mark.
Well, that's quite an intro. Thank you very much. I'm doing good. I love that song.
I take all of my cues from watching you on TV. That's how I learn how to... I really do, Mark, because you are a master.
Yes.
You were channeling last season with Bill Goldberg when we revealed his car to him.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, you had to send up with... Yeah, you guys had the lights.
He's a great guy. How are you guys doing out there? Is it cold?
We're in the 50s. It's not bad. For us, that's mild.
Yeah, for this time of year.
Nice.
As long as there's not stuff coming out of the sky.
Out here too, and raining.
Yeah, I know. I know in Oregon, you guys do have quite a lot of rain, because we have some friends out there, and they're always reporting back to sideways rain, up and down, rain going 45 degrees.
Got it. Yeah, that's why we're green.
Yeah. we've been a little
Very
dry.
Cool. Yeah, so what's new with you guys back there? Anybody got any new cars?
Well, we're still playing with our old stuff.
Right.
You know, we kind of get involved with we're keepers. You know, like Joe and I are keepers.
Okay, use the real word hoarders.
Yeah, that's
we
it.
Are hoarders.
Okay. So one of you has a GTO, right?
That's me. Yes, that's
me. You. Okay.
Yes.
And what do the other guy have?
Well, I've got it right now. I'm down to my 82 Z28 Indy Pace car. I just sold off my 67 Chevelle because now I'm on the hunt for a split bumper Camaro.
I can appreciate.
As
that.
Am I.
Yeah. I myself, I've been a Chevy guy since they stuck me behind the wheel at a early age. But
that's okay. I won't hold that against you. They get you around. They're good transportation, grocery cars.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But if you want to close the deal with a babe, you pretty much got to have a Mopar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are definitely...
I'll tell you something.
I'm not using the terminology, you could do that.
I'll tell you something. I did kind of do that because years back, I worked with a bunch of guys that had Mopars. So with that, we were all mechanical guys. We were in a shop, and I used to help them work on the car. There was a Duster. There was a Roadrunner involved. A lot of stuff. And these were street cars, you know, back in the day. The stuff that now you take apart and fix the right way. You know, but I did end up with the convertible Challenger for a while.
Very good.
It was, you know, the problem was every time I got under the car to do something maintenance wise, there was so much rust. And I said, I know I'm never going to be able to fix this car the way it needs to be fixed correctly. So
yeah.
I did sell it to somebody who would do that. And I still have parts of it. And I regret it because it was just such a great car. And it was low production, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sweet vehicle.
Yeah, it seemed like the Mopars weren't as protected as some of the other cars. So if they got back there on those salty roads or if they sat in the field and got wet, they would rust. Certainly seen a lot of that.
I've got a
convertible Challenger right now I'm getting ready to do for a guy that literally, it's rusted to a point where when we lift it up with the forklift, you can see the whole roof move and the door sag and the back hangs off of it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like the whole inner structure and floors are rotted out. Mm. About all that's good left on it is the interior and the convertible roof.
Wow. You know, Mark, we've been around guys and we have friends who have body shops and restoration shops. And we see a lot of cool stuff out here. But I have never seen anybody do anything the scope and breadth of what you do. I mean, the cars you pulled in last season out of that field with the moss on, I mean, you almost couldn't tell it was a car under the foliage, you know. And you took those things back.
The 68 and 69 Chargers, well, really, those are just parts cars. I mean, mm-hmm. if they if they had been different, you know, if they started life differently, like a Hemi, or probably would have had to be a Hemi to even try to save one of those, because they're so far gone. But they've sure offered a lot of parts. Dave's out there, like Arnie Cunningham in Darnell's junkyard, grabbing stuff off of there all the time.
Right.
And bringing it back in and putting it, reconditioning it and putting it on the car. So even though you look at a heap of junk, say there's nothing left on it, well, there is. There's a wiper transmission or a window regulator or a clevis pin back from season one. You never know what you're going to save out of one of those cars. So they're invaluable that way. And it made for a really fun, neat episode to get out of here, which we never get to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, you guys, you have that, it's a couple of years now. You have the new shop, which is fantastic. It's that was an electrical supply.
Yeah, that's a wow.
That was an electrical supply house, correct?
Pardon me now?
The new shop was previously an electrical supply house?
Yeah, well, an electrical repair Carver family. the old man started it back in 72, and that's when the building was built. And they did electrical motors in here for companies like Weyerhaeuser, the big sawmill out here. So the stuff that they did was huge stuff. That's why there's a 6-ton bridge crane out there that we've in-opted it. But it was functional when we moved in. They would still use it from time to time.
Right.
But that, yeah, that's what it is. And right now we've left the Carver name on the back of the building just for nostalgia purposes.
You know, Joe and I was speaking about that before the show, and I said that's what one of the things I like about what you do. You pay homage not only to Mother Mopar and the Chrysler products that you rebuild, but also to the place that you work.
Respect,
you
know, the history.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. It's with the other day, I had a wild hair in this same spirit and started hunting for Eugene Springfield telephone books.
Oh.
And so I bought a 56, a 57, and a 75.
Wow.
And it is so fun to do that. If you haven't done that and you grew up where you're still living, you got to do it. Things that your brain has just put out of its necessity to look up comes rushing back.
So did you look up your old friends' phone numbers that you still remember, probably?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They were all there. Royal was there. He was living with his grandmother and Grandpa Joe.
Okay.
But, you know, equally, we looked up, like, the car lots.
Oh, yeah.
And the restaurants and the drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just, it's such a blast. And, you know, it's also kind of sobering when you come across people that you've lost over the years.
Right.
But you can go back in time and open a page, and when that page came out, they were real, and it was real, and you were friends, and, you know, that you what had happened to them hadn't happened yet.
Right.
So it's just like a snapshot.
It's like
in
the
time.
Like
so
your old,
for me, I absolutely love it.
Like your old buddy that you got that the Ram Charger truck from.
Absolutely. We looked up Butch Peterson. His dad, Albert Peterson, was living down there on North A and had Springfield Flower Shop. And 76 is probably the year that I spotted the Charger sitting beside the house.
Mm.
So, I mean, so many things, you know, when you grow up and are born and raised in the same little town that you just forget that we're there. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, have people in town had changed their view of you or treated you differently now that the show is wildly popular and successful? And, you know, I mean, did it open other doors for Mark Warman, or is it still kind of like, oh yeah, it's just
so funny? I think there's something about your own backyard that's never affected by this,
right,
the stardom. I mean, literally, nobody treats
good
me any differently at all.
Good.
People that hated me before hate me now, and people like me before like me now. And, you know, there's always that group that say you don't deserve what you have, and then there's the ones that know that you sacrificed everything for what you have. So, this particular framework of town, I don't think at all. But
good.
As soon as you step out of it, then all those things, the accolades of people and the, wow, can I get a picture and an autograph, the minute you step out of town, and the further away you get from town.
Uh-huh.
So like when we're down there in Vegas, it's crazy. You don't get to move or walk, and you really realize how many people you're touching through your show.
I have to say, and I'll be totally honest with you, you know, we've had you on the show now 4 times, going back to 2014. You were gracious enough to come on with us in 14, 15, and twice in 16, and today. And,
yeah,
you know, when I advertise it, I still hear people say to me, what are you having that a-hole on your show for?
Yeah, I hear that occasionally myself.
And you know what? I tell him, hey, you know what? Because that a-hole's a friend of ours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
We let you in, so it's
okay.
That's
the way it is. And then I want an asshole for a friend, I'll have one.
Yeah, and then I feel like I got to set people straight and say, you know what? Love him or not. I said, you're probably just jealous of what he does. And you know. I mean, obviously, the show technically, and for what your show does mechanically, I don't think there's any finer. I mean, I'd put you up against the best of anybody.
Yeah, it's a quality show, definitely.
You know what it is when it comes to my character, they just absolutely don't get it.
Right.
They don't get that the whole thing is a Michael Scott, David Brent, The Office character. They don't get it, that's my persona. So they think that when I do the spike to the camera that I really think I'm being clever, where really I'm just kind of channeling those characters that I've always loved and thought were brilliant. And we all had somebody we worked for that thought they were so cool. But but in reality, that guy was never really cool.
Right.
But my character, I want you to love the character that thinks he's cool. I don't know. It's kind of a hodgepodge.
It's a persona.
Maybe with a little Fonzie thrown in there for fun.
I just think of, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
I just think of the line, like, you know, he had a flat top haircut. Boy, he thought he was cool. You know, from.
Yeah, right.
Take this job and shove it. Right. But that's the thing. And when I speak to people privately, and I just did this week, and I say, no, you know what? When we've had Mark on the show, he is an absolute consummate gentleman. And they're like, no, really? Like, yeah, really?
Yeah, I know.
They don't want to believe it. I was like, listen to the show.
And you know, the other thing is, it's hard to get out of the shadow of those early years, too, when Josh and Darren were on, because really, you know, it wasn't. I fought like hell with them, so a lot of that was very organic. And I also, you know, was going after a different character. That when I started Graveyard Cars, really, back then there wasn't a lot of it. And so I had really studied the guys from Orange County, Paul
Senior, Tuttles.
Junior. And so if you look those first two or three seasons, you can see where I'm channeling some of that combative nature. So it's hard to shed that, though, you know, later. The people that just came on are watching it, they don't even know what that is. Recently we did a mashup of, last week we did a mashup of General Lee.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to flash back and show some of the other old episodes, things that happened in the episodes that had to do with the General Lee. And it was so amazing. I know one of you, I think it's Ray, do you follow me on Twitter?
I do, yeah.
You see all the comments that, man, I'm sure glad you got rid of those a-holes. I can't believe you know.
Well, you
so
know.
Much better show. So, yeah, there's been an evolution because of that, too.
Not only that, but I'm a fan of the show. So I watch it live like everybody else. And I clicked. I said, did my TV break? Why am I seeing these guys? What happened?
Right. Yeah, my mom even texted me while she was watching. Goes, please. Of course, she's 83, so she gets confused. Please don't tell me they're back.
No. And you know what?
Okay, I was hoping it was a rerun. All right.
And let me take a second to say, Oscar, because we followed you on Twitter, best wishes and all to your mom. We're glad to hear she's back in getting into fighting shape again to keep your ass in shape.
Yeah. Well, she seems to be doing that. I have to go by there and entertain her almost every night
right.
to keep on her good side. Sure. But she's doing really good. Last year I bought a little house down the road from where I live and moved her and the sister in, and so they're just, you know, literally a minute from the house. So
that's good.
It's all good.
That's good. Yeah. So
thank you.
That was a big thread. I was watching that one, and I said, you know, fingers crossed. Hopefully everything will be okay.
Thank you so much.
Elderly parents, that is something we all go through.
That's right.
And,
that's exactly right.
To watch them.
If she was 40 years old, I would have never made a mention of it. But the older they get, the more those surgeries are just hard on them.
And, you know, just to tie in that thread before with the phone books, I know I have a couple of daughters, and I know if I showed them a phone book, they'd say, huh? What the hell's that?
No, that's the whole thing.
You need a book for the phone?
I don't even know if they know what a Yellow Pages is.
Yeah. You know, but the same thing, and now to move it forward with getting older, I keep saying, you know what, but I got to be nice to them because when I'm old, they're the ones that are going to be taking
pushing
care.
Your wheelchair. Yeah, there you go.
You know,
don't think that's a joke.
Oh, no.
That's real stuff right there.
I'm not laughing.
That's absolutely right.
Absolutely. So the Charger, I wanted to tell you, we do have a common thread between us where you did do this to generally the jump car from the movie. The movie was 2009, correct? Is that?
Yeah.
What the movie?
Yeah,
05.
Okay. We happen to have, as a friend of this show, Mr. Tom Sarmento, who was one of the stuntmen who jumped to General Lee on the TV show.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Yeah, he's been on the show a number of times in the past years. He was actually a guy who worked for... he worked for Chrysler. He was a line mechanic back in the 70s. And he had a friend who worked at the studio and said, hey, you know, when you come out for vacation sometime, I'll show you around the set. And so he's looking around the cars and looking at all the Chryslers. And I guess word got out that he was a line mechanic. So his buddy asked him if he wouldn't mind taking a look at a car with one of the guys who serviced them. So he did. And I guess it was a producer, someone who was around, and caught on, spoke to him, and offered him a job. And he said, okay. That was when the UAW was kind of sketchy. And he left, went to work for them, became the lead mechanic on that show, and then went into stunt work and did some crazy freaking stuff. So, I'm going to see.
Did what now? You trailed off a little. I'm sorry.
He did some real crazy stuff, some jumps. I mean, he jumped the A-team van at one of the Dukes Fest.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah. The guy, if you look up Tom Sarmento, you'll find it. I'm going to see if I can get you in touch with him.
Oh, that'd be fun, yeah.
And I was glad, and I know, like other people on Twitter, I was glad to see the Rebel flag. Now, we're not from the South, we're from New York, but I was glad to see that Rebel flag back on the roof, because I know that was controversial a couple of years ago.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. When that whole thing went down the first round, we had to go back, Discovery Channel, they're a publicly held company, and they have to be... very cautious, and I understand that, and we didn't know, any of us knew where that was going, so we were asked if we could blur that out, the roof, and we did, and then it kind of tapered down, and then there was that last go-around with that nutcase, I think, again, or something like that, and that kicked it back up into the fray, so... We always felt like it was part of the car. It didn't, to me as a kid, and I think to anybody who ever watched the show, it didn't have anything to do with anything. It was just how it could have been, it had a sunflower painted on the roof, and it would have had the same symbolism, I think.
Yeah.
So I just said, no, we're going to put it back on the car. That's what was on it, and that's what we're going to put back on it.
That made the car correct.
Yeah, and it seemed like there were a lot of people that were really glad to see that.
And something that I take a lot of enjoyment in, and I know other people do too, is when you put that graphic on with your daughter, Alyssa, tell us about that, because that graphic didn't look like an easy thing to do.
Oh, that thing's miserable. That thing's absolutely miserable. The bigger those are, the harder they are to get on that type of a vinyl graphic. They've got other stuff where they use heat guns, like a wrap. They're used to great big, pieces of material, but they're different. This has an adhesive on it.
Mm.
And so you've got to get that whole roof wet. And I did have some air bubbles, but they're the kind that once they set for a week, they'll walk their way out.
Yeah.
And I think even the HD camera picked a few of them up, because I got a few texts from guys or emails saying, hey, what's going on with the air bubbles? And I had to explain that they'll come out.
Now, you are the guru.
Yeah, that's a pain. That's a real pain.
You are the guru.
Probably worse than a billboard.
I was going to say, the billboard of the hockey sticks. Now, that graphic, you mentioned that it wasn't centered in the roof. It had to go further. I forget if it was further forward or back. What was the deal
with
that?
I think it went further back. Yeah, it wasn't centered. One of the guys, Justin Cornett, I think, he has one of the cars from the movie, and he also was there filming behind the scenes stuff, and so he helped us get as close as we could to write on that car.
Did you use his car for reference
stuff? And that's why I think at the bottom, when we were showing those pictures of the behind the scenes, those were all courtesy of him.
Okay.
So it wasn't exactly right. It's not where your brain would put it. Your brain would have centered it would have centered the the General Lee halfway between the flag and the drip rail, but that just wasn't the way it was. So
I mean, the other thing that was pretty cool was the color of that car. You covered that with Will.
And that was one of those things that was interesting, because that really was an EV2 Hemi Orange 70 Charger that got converted. The J.R. Barton guy converted it for the studios, made it a 69, mudded in all the side markers and that, and then they painted it the Big Bad Orange.
Right, right.
But I guess the cars in the series were flame red.
That was the Corvette color, correct?
Yeah. Pardon me?
That was the Corvette color, was flame red.
Yeah, the flame red was a Corvette color. That I think the way the guys upstairs that make the show with me here, they said the cameras take the colors in differently. So today's today's camera took it in differently than the cameras they would have shot a TV series with back in the day.
Sure.
And so to keep a consistent look, they just had to keep always changing up the color to maintain that look.
Yeah, it was
so,
probably,
that was an interesting little bit. I think people enjoyed
That was, see, and that's the stuff that the real car guys that I know that talk to me, that's what they like to see, like myself. Because we learned something there. It was like, you know, who knew, you know?
Right, yeah, and I didn't either. I kind of learned as we went along, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was interesting.
Absolutely. I guess back in the day, they used, like, Panaflex cameras or whatever they were, and, of course, it was on film, you know, not digital.
Yeah, it was a little different setup back then, and I don't know what they were, but, yeah, it was. I don't even know if the movie was on film or if it was digital. My guess is it was on film, but a lot of things that we're watching today, they've gotten rid of the film, and it's just digital.
Sure. And I tell you, speaking about colors, some of that stuff, I know, you know, in one of the past episodes this season, Will had said, oh, thank God we're getting done with the green cars. Some of those greens come out so damn bright on HDTV. Whoa!
Oh, I know, especially those greens, that sassy grass and limelight, they really pop off the screen big time.
Yeah. That's something. Joe, we had a caller earlier who had a question for Mark. Do you remember what Bob's question? Can you, I kind of started writing.
Basically, one of our listeners wanted to know, you're surrounded by this bevy of beautiful Mopars, and which one or ones did you hang on to for yourself? Is there anyone that you kind of
picked
to cherry?
He was
asking about the cars that we've done and are doing. I got to go back to the car from your neck of the woods, the 70 Hemi Charger, burnt orange, black top, black interior car from season 4.
And that was the color of your original Charger.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was. And I just have a soft spot for the 70 Chargers. They're my favorite, even though they're probably of the second generation trio. They're probably the least popular.
Yeah.
Probably pecking order 68, 69, and 70 just the way they came out as far as popularity. That's what I believe.
I like a 70 GTX. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, I think that's an over-the-top crazy car. I think the only one that tops it in 70 for just wild design would have to be the Super B.
Oh, yeah.
With that crazy front bumper and taillights. And,
you know, the coronets were always kind of cool, too, in a weird way.
Well, the 70 especially, because they really pulled out, like I say, all the stops. The 68 and the 69 Coronet, they are what they are. They're boxy. They get blended in with the Roadrunner styling and stuff like that, because they are kind of square. But in 70, when they came out with the B-body, the Coronet RT and the Super B, I think they really grabbed hold of a lot of craziness in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was 70 was the year.
Besides the guy designing the paints, the guy designing the bodies was another whack. I mean, just off the chart. Mark, we had a question from a listener, and you're the perfect person to go through this. If you could explain for the listeners, please, what the body designations mean where Chrysler's concerned, like, you know, E and B and C, because some people don't know, and they ask for clarification.
You're referring to, like, when I said B-bodies?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
Well, okay. So, for the stuff that we deal with, now, there were more platforms the cars were built on than what we worked with. But the stuff that you see us back in the era of, say, 66 to 74, the cars we deal with are referred to as A-bodies. Chrysler refers to it as an A-body, a B-body, like boy, and an E-body, an occasional C-body. And so your A-bodies, that runs all of your little cars.
Valiant,
so if you start out in 64 with the Barracuda that was built on the Valiant series, you go into the Darts, Barracudas, those are A-body cars. Get into 70 or 71, like the Demon came out, and the Duster in 70, A-body cars. So they're all those are your A-body smaller platform cars, the inexpensive muscle cars that even today are pretty affordable. The B-bodies, that represented, you can go from probably even a longer range, but the stuff we deal with, 66 to around 74, that's going to cover all your mid-size cars, such as the Coronet, the Super B, Roadrunner, GTX, the Dodge Charger, those mid-size cars like that are the ones that Chrysler referred to as the B-bodies. It got a little weird in 71 because they still kept calling the new Coke bottle design cars a B-body. Mm. But typically, like when I'm talking to Tony D'Agostino back there, he refers to his B-bodies as the 66 to 70. And I don't know what he calls the 71 to 74s. But really, they are B-bodies. Charger Roadrunner, Charger Roadrunner GTX Super B, those were all available from 71 to 74 for the most part. Then the E-bodies, that was a platform just and only for the Barracuda and the Challenger bodies from 1970 to 1974. Mm-hmm. So those are easier yet. They only made two. They made a Plymouth Barracuda and they made a Challenger, regardless of what engine options or how it was dressed out. They were still built on the E-body platform.
You know, speaking of that, I also do a show on Thursday nights with Lou Santiago from Car Fix TV. We do an internet show, and one of the guys on that show this past week, he referred to, we were talking about your show. He asked what I was going to do this week, and of course I was pitching this show. And, and he said he had come across, a 71 Barracuda convertible that came with a slant six. And I immediately went to my reference books and found no written reference of a car like that.
Do you have any reason it couldn't be available?
Yeah, okay.
I have not seen one, but just let me give me 1 second and I'll look while I'm talking. Hmm. The Barracuda and the Cuda, for the most part, really were obtainable with about anything.
Yeah.
Although in 71, things got a little bit weird. Like in the E-bodies, you could no longer get a 440 with just a 4-barrel. If you wanted a 440, you had to get a 6-barrel engine.
Yeah, that was too bad, right?
Kind of interesting, yeah. While the 440 Charger, you could get that easily enough with a 440 and a 4-barrel.
Yeah, that's an odd thing, where one body line, you can get it, and the other you couldn't.
I think that was the beginning of when they started had to certify cars for emissions.
Maybe.
So it's like they figured that the average CUDA buyer wasn't gonna go that route, so they just certified the one powertrain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They must have tried to simplify and speed things up is sort of a guess. Mm. According to my little handy-dandy book here, non-CUDA cars, so just your BH lineup, Bravo Hotel, that B stands for Barracuda, the H stands for high price class, which isn't the CUDA, which is an S, like Sam or Special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
According to this, they don't give us a breakdown on anything except a 383 HP option, 71 non-CUDA. So it's surely possible.
Right.
They made 1,014 71 Barracuda convertibles. Now, that's not the CUDA model, just the Barracuda.
Right.
And of those, 10 of them were 383 HP engines with a 4-speed, and 9 were 383s with an automatic. That's only counting for 19 of the 1,014. Right. So somewhere in there, I'm sure there were some 6-cylinders, 318s, and I know 340s because I have one here.
Right.
But that would be a CUDA.
Yeah, you've got quite a collection out in the backyard there, I got to say.
We do. It's wonderful. Whenever somebody wants us to do a car and I tell them it's going to be a year and a half before we start on it and it's a 3-year job, they're fine with that. And I tell them I'd like to get the car here. They got no problem shipping the car out because while that car's here, even though nothing's happening with it, things are happening. We're using it as reference. We're filming it and doing comparisons to perhaps a car that's similar to it inside the shop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know the other thing I really liked, I never saw it before, I saw it on your show first, was that car mover jiggy that you have.
Oh, gosh. Stringo.
It's Stringo?
S-T-R-I-N-G-O.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. We've got two of them now.
Okay. Joe, that's
the
thing.
And that and the forklift are the two pieces I wouldn't be without here.
Yeah. That's one of these things, Joe.
Stringo moves those cars like butter. As long as it's got wheels on it, you can move it around. It doesn't matter what it weighs. It doesn't matter where it's at. And I can't believe every car lot in the world wouldn't have one. Because you can also tuck the cars right in next to each other that you could never do driving it because you couldn't get out of the door.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I just took a quick look at it. It's like a pallet hoist on steroids.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, it's phenomenal. We had the first version that came out a few years ago, and then We bought the second version, which is an updated, they fixed a lot of the little quirks that the other one had as far as, you know, movability and things like that, and battery life, stuff like that. Mm. But yeah, that's a great thing. If you've got a car lot, and I've even turned the guys on at Barrett Jackson. I said, man, I can't believe you don't have 10 of these sitting there.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not cheap. They're around $20,000.
Right.
But, I mean, it's Barrett Jackson, right?
So right, right.
They could buy a bunch of them, I would think. And, oh, and it would,
yeah, with the lunch money.
Starting the cars, running them, some kid blasting it into a wall or dumping the clutch.
Right.
I mean, everything. You just,
right.
If you can't put it in neutral, you pick it up from the back. If you can put it in neutral, pick it up from the front.
Sure, sure.
These are great. I could even think of some shops that could use them, especially when they have like a high density of cars. Tony, if you're listening,
absolutely.
I'll bring you the website.
Have blacktop. Not every shop, you know, has the blacktop parking lot. Some of them still have the gravel, and they won't work well in that.
No, definitely not.
Right. Blacktop, they're awesome.
Yeah. Not without, yeah, but I would say, especially when you have like the logistics of moving cars that don't necessarily jump in and drive, or even just parking them, you know what I mean? That you want to be able to maneuver them without somebody having a bad night before or whatever. You want to just be able
right.
to move the car
and
precisely.
Like you said earlier, Joe, being able to get out of that car is an issue.
Right.
If you look at the spacing on the cars out back, mm-hmm. chubby little guy like me is not getting in and out of those things.
I can relate.
Even a skinny guy probably couldn't get in and out of them because we have so many, we have to stack them really close, and that thing's beautiful. You can come parallel to the front of the car and then turn that wheel 90 degrees, and that car will do a 90-degree
wow.
right into the spot.
That's
and you can
cool.
just feather it in. It's on a rheostat. I don't think we've ever damaged a car with a Stringo.
Beautiful.
Knocking wood while you said that.
Now, you guys heard about the, I don't remember if last time we talked, I was telling you that I was trying to get my used car lot open.
Yes, you did.
So, just a quick update. We are getting ready to close next month on a property here in town. It was originally built as a boat dealership, and it was built in 1970.
Oh, wow.
And has not been touched from an update standpoint. So if you want to go back in time, you're going to do it at Graveyard Motors. I'm working with Dave Snyder, if you know who he is. He does all the Mopar prints. So he does all the muscle car paintings that you see everywhere. Usually it's a car hop or a drive-in
right.
theater. He's working with me. He's going to be doing two limited edition prints, one for Graveyard Cars, one for Graveyard Motors, that we're going to unveil next year at SEMA. But he's also helping me design the car dealership because I want it to be authentic. I don't want it to be where you go into a 50s restaurant and anything that was made in the 50s is in the restaurant. Stoplights and you know, road signs.
That's not the way it was. No, hell no.
Yeah.
No, so I don't want things, gratuitous 1970s artifacts in there, 60s and 70s. We're putting in a real Tokheim gas pump that was built in 1969 that we're reconditioning. So it's not a sexy one like the 50s. It's the
right.
old square style. But if you pulled up to a brand new Texaco in 1969, that's what you'd have. If you had a dealership, they pump their own gas at the dealership. This
sure.
would be the pump you'd have.
Mm-hmm. My favorite pump, and I'm sure you remember it, was Sunoco, because you got to had that
dial.
Selector on the side.
Yeah, all the way from 190
to 260. I just always had, there's only two numbers I looked at, 240, 260, you know, it's like, yeah.
You're talking what, Sunoco?
Sunoco.
Oh, yeah. I remember Sunoco. I don't know what pump you're talking about. Are you talking about their colors and their branding?
No,
I think
Sunoco is out west.
Sunoco is more east coast.
We had Sunoco, which was Sun Oil Company, but they had a selector on the side, a big knot. It was like a coffee grinder at A&P, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they had a, okay. That is called a Blend-O-Matic.
Wow.
I'm learning a little bit about these things.
Okay.
And yeah, you could kind of dial in which fuel you wanted.
Yes.
Right.
They had 10 different tanks in the ground because you could dial it or mix it and
right,
do whatever
right.
you wanted. But those were made in the 50s. Now, it doesn't mean there wasn't still some hanging out in the 60s and 70s because,
right.
you know, mom-and-pop gas stores,
sure.
they'd use them to the end of time.
Well,
my goal with the dealership is to make sure that everything's... If you were to build a new dealership in 1970, 68 to 1970, say, then the things that are in there are the stuff that would be on the market that would be new and cutting edge.
Right.
I want you, when you walk on there, I want you to feel like you're going right back.
Right.
It's part of the experience.
I know a lot of those old pumps weren't changed by us until gas hit over $1 a gallon because they couldn't.
Probably, they couldn't go up any higher.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody freaked out. Like, we got to put in new pumps. Were you kidding me? You know, it's going to cost. And the mom and pop.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Sure.
And then, you know, the next big change was digital.
Right. Right.
Mm. But absolutely. So just maybe what we'll do is I'll send you an email when we're getting ready to have our grand opening and hop on the radio, send you some pictures ahead of time so you can post them on your
Oh, absolutely. Love to see that. Yeah, for sure.
Been watching a lot of American Graffiti going back to Jerry's Cherries. Of course, that was supposed to be 62, but there's still a lot of that influence. And then Used Cars, Kurt Russell.
Yes. Excellent. Great. A mile of cars.
pile of cars, right?
You know, it just the past month or so here in New York, American Graffiti Part 2 has been on, and I watched it, of course, like four times and saw different pieces, and I finally watched it through. And I'm the idiot that I take pictures of the TV with my cell phone. You know, it's like,
yeah, it was showing them off at the party the other night.
Yeah, I was showing
them
at
My boys are like, who is this guy?
Right? I do.
I know. Like, what it's like, I got the movie. What am I taking? But like, hey, it's on TV.
Yeah, I do that. If you watch my Twitter, I'll take a picture of whatever I'm watching and tweet it out.
Right. Mm. Well, we had you watching in our studio with us through the beauty of the magic of cell phones and headshots. So
Yeah.
You know, we put you right in here with
us. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, Mark, what's in the future for Graveyard Cars? Because we're coming to the end of our time here. What can we look forward to?
Well, Graveyard Cars is doing great. It's running strong. We are, we have just finished editing and shipped off episode 7 of the new season.
Nice.
And that's a 13-episode season. So you'll be watching season 8 up through about the end of January.
Great.
Then I understand from programming right now, you will be off for about 2 months. And then back on again to carry you through the spring and early summer. And then those are the ones that we have under contract. And I don't see any reason why we won't be making some for the fall again.
Excellent.
So doing great. We're rocking and rolling. And we just appreciate all of our fans and everybody that watches. And even if they watch just to hate on me, their Nielsen doesn't know the difference. So.
Well, sure. Yeah, and, as soon as you tune in, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, we take up the cause on the East Coast to kind of fend off that stuff. Mark, how can people get in touch with you or follow what you're doing if they would like to do so?
On Facebook, it's Graveyard Cars. So facebook.com
page right here,
Graveyard Cars with a Z, of course.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, we have Graveyard Cars on Twitter, which I think is Graveyard Cars, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark, my own personal one, is GYC underscore Mark at Twitter. And I don't honestly know all of our Instagram ones, but I know they're linked through the
You got Instagram, too. That's
so
for sure.
If you want to follow along, absolutely. Every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern time, your time, brand new episodes of Graveyard Cars. The premiere episodes, we're giving gifts away, so watch our Facebook. We're doing live streams about if you're the first person to finish my sentence at a particular time in the show, then you get this shirt or radiator or sweatshirt.
Right.
So we're giving away some pretty cool prizes too.
Very cool. Well, Mark, thank you very much. We're going to keep in touch, and when you when that dealership thing comes about, we definitely want to have you back on and talk about it.
Okay.
And
I love
and
it.
Until then, we will carry the torch out here. Mark, we thank you for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great talking to you, Mark.
You too, guys. Take care of yourself.
All right, Mark. Thanks. Bye bye. Mark has to have exit music. He deserves that.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's on that level. You know what I mean?
All right.
That was great. You know, he's a great guy to talk to. I don't know where all that bad stuff comes from.
Yeah, because people don't know him. You know what? But we are going to have
to have to adopt the persona.
We're going to take a late break, and I got to tell you about this great show called Beatles Songs here on HPC, Fridays at 8 p.m., hosted by none other than Rob Leonard, the guy who sets us up.
Yep.
That show takes on an all-encompassing look at the Beatles, features the music together and apart, as well as covered songs, songs the Beatles covered, and the songs the Beatles either guested on and or produced. And you know what? Let's let Rob tell us about it, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatle songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
This program is brought to you by the Chocolate Expo, a Bomb Image Group event coming to the Cradle of Aviation in Garden City on Sunday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Featuring tasting and sales of chocolates, baked goods, specialty foods, gelato, cheeses, wines, beers, craft sodas, and more from local, regional, and international vendors.
Including celebrity chef demos, a dance party, face painting, and balloon twisting for kids. Plus a visit from Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Kosher, vegan, sugar-free, and gluten-free options available.
For more information, visit thechocolateexpo.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
And we are back on Motormouth Radio. My track ended, so I can't play the end of it. Ray Guarino, Joe D, coming off the great Mark Warman interview from Graveyard Cars.
Yeah, he is cool. He's cool to listen to. He's a great guy to talk to. Jim thinks that Mark should have us on his show.
Yeah.
Well, okay, as soon as they can find a way to beam me over there because I don't fly. It might just happen.
You flew this year.
Yeah, but that was different. That was because I really couldn't get a transporter for the Star Trek convention. God knows I would have said, yeah, I'll just do it just for the beaming, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I would love to see that place, especially that whole dealership thing.
Oh, I would, too.
That kind of has my, that's piqued my curiosity quite a bit.
Of course.
Being an ex-dealership rat, you know what I mean? I'd love to see it back in the day there.
And since we both came up through the 70s, that's also something that we would appreciate and
sure,
and like the originality. So I have to say, we're getting to the end of our show here for today, Joe. Next week, we're scheduled to have Mitch Valentine from Radiance. I don't know if it's Radiance Electronics. I know it's Radiance.com. Radiance is with
LED
a Z.
LED guy.
Yeah, like...
Let's just call Mitch the LED guy. Yeah, that's
like
good.
Like Graveyard Cars with a Z. Radiance is RADIANTZ. You can check him out on the web and see what he does. He does a lot of stuff for motorcycles, cars. He does home lighting, and he's actually... he built me some LED taillights.
He's a bright guy.
He is, that's true. He's going to outshine us. He built me some LED taillights for my GTO. And the first ones he did, like, you know, a lot of guys will put in the 1157 bulb with a couple of squares on it. No. Mitch took a pad and said, I got like 30 LEDs on here. I'm like, wow, that should be pretty good. And he showed me a picture with it lit. And then after a little R&D, he played around. And he says, you know what? I got a new design. And he showed me, he put a pad in there with about 300 LEDs. I was like, you know what? If I got low planes behind me, they're gonna follow me.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, at that point, you better not drive too near LaGuardia or something.
You're right. You're right. You have to stay out of that, off the Grand Central over there. But, yeah, that'll be next week.
That should be good. Yeah, because, let's face it, LEDs are an up-and-coming technology for cars. Between battery drain and heat generation. You know what I mean? If you could get that stuff to fit into an older car without too much surgery, it would be the way to fly. And he sounds like just the guy to talk to.
Oh, and the thing is, his place does R&D, so they'll fit stuff into lenses that... are oddball things and kind of weird configurations. So he did have me send him an actual quarter panel extension and lens. So he had the physical thing in front of him to work with, which is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
When he said that, I was impressed. I'm like, okay, he's making it fit custom.
Right.
And we like custom.
Yes, because when you have to get stuff like that to fit with a hammer, something usually goes very, very wrong.
Right. Well, speaking of hammering things, we're going to hammer the hell out of here, and Kim's going to come in and do Thunder Road, playing the best of Bruce Springsteen and people who played with Bruce. And until next week, Joe.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's...
Let's time for the thunder.
See ya.